In this chapter 5, Gospel according to John, the Lord Jesus Christ is unfolding a whole list of the points that are interrelated in the human confusion and human faith. So, in the verse number 31, he said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." That means if I have nothing to confirm what I say about myself or what I say about God, there is no other testimony, no other witness, nothing to prove my words, then my words are not worth your believing. But then the Lord added in the verse number 32, "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true." What does that mean? Who is that another one? Well, first, there was that power of the Holy Spirit that was our Lord Jesus Christ's anointing. And when he talked to the people, when he talked the word of God, it was so powerful, so meaningful. And yet, some of them had the opposite power, the power of the enemy, to contradict, to oppose, to reject the word of God. Well, that opposing power is a great weakness. The enemy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the adversary of our souls, is powerless. He is helpless and hopeless, and he can do nothing unless we believe him and we open the door to him. His power is in deception, hiding the truth of us and using our darkness, our ignorance, our lack of the knowledge of the word of God. That's his power. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is telling about another one that beareth witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, "And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true." And then he talks about John the Baptist. And yes, John the Baptist did bear witness concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his witness is true. However, the Father is the witness, the most powerful witness, testifying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is his only begotten one, that he is his beloved one, in whom the Father is perfectly well pleased, and in whom we have the only Savior of the world. So the witness of John the Baptist and the witness of the Heavenly Father and the witnessing of the Holy Spirit, everything has been blending together. Everything is united in that one truth, one fact, that Jesus Christ is the Savior. The Lord said further, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." That means John did testify concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and he told to the Jews the fact, the truth. But then the Lord says, "But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved." What does that mean? The Lord is not saying, I believe that he is not saying, "Ye sent unto John, and John bare witness unto the truth, but that's a witness of a man, and I reject that. It's not acceptable to me." No, that's not what the Lord is meaning here. I believe what the Lord says is an answer to the Jews. Jews that were opposing the Lord Jesus Christ were carnal men, the men of this world. They knew not God. They did not understand the thoughts of the Spirit. They had no knowledge of God in the manner and way as the Lord Jesus had. So the Lord Jesus Christ was doing always and only the will of the Father. That was his only pleasure, his only goal, his only intention, and he was doing that all the time. what the Jews thought, being carnal, being physical, being men of this world, they believed that for the Lord Jesus Christ, that prophet of Nazareth, is very important to have their support. It's very important that some group of people will believe him, and that would be then his satisfaction of some kind. They thought that this prophet of Nazareth is a reformer. He plans something. He wants to do something. And for that purpose, he must convince some people that he is the Son of God, or that he is the Messiah, or that he is at least someone sent by the Heavenly Father, so that the people would believe him. And then through these believing people, he can accomplish something. Now, there is some truth in that, but not in their way of thinking, not in their along their line of thinking. He did not, the Lord Jesus Christ did not need anyone to believe so that Jesus Christ would be saved. No, he had the Father in his close relationship. He had that unity with the Father. And who has the Father needs nothing else. But all that the Father has is his as well. And so it is with us. When we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are united with him by our faith in him and his word, then all that he has is ours. And wherever we are, he is with us. And when two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of the two or three by his Spirit. I think the Jews believed, or at least that was their opinion, their logic, their way of thinking, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that prophet of Nazareth, needs a group of people to believe him, otherwise he's helpless, hopeless. And the Lord Jesus Christ is answering, I receive not the testimony from a man. It's not important or meaningful to him that somebody would believe him and support him so that he, the Lord Jesus, could succeed in his mission here on this earth. It's the other way around. He says, but I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. I don't need your help, your support. You need my word to receive life. These things I say that ye might be saved. He is telling them the truth of the gospel, and if they believe it, they will be saved. If they are the ones that will hear the voice of the Son of Man and rise into life, they will believe. Very, very tragical. Tragically for them, they did not believe. Perhaps later on some of them did believe. And if so, that's to their great benefit. But at this time we see that they did not believe. John was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. John was a burning and a shining light, and he got burnt up. His offering was a complete offering upon the altar of faithfulness and gratitude to the Almighty God for all his goodness and mercy, for all that he has done for the mankind to save us from our deserved everlasting doom. John was a burning and a shining light. Not only he was shining with the word of God, which he did, but also he was burning. He was consuming the days of his life and the energy of his body to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he was doing that, there were some people that for a short time wanted to rejoice in that light. What is that short time? What is the short time rejoicing in the Word of God? And what is permanent rejoicing? There is a difference between the two. When John the Baptist was preaching to a group of people, and his word was very sharp, cutting to the bone the sinners. And there was somebody else who was hiding his sins, and the word was not cutting him. And he knew, or at least he believed, that the sermon of John is against the sinfulness of some other people. Then he would be rejoicing. Oh, there we go. He is condemning the sins of my neighbor. Yes, yes, that should be done. Let him be condemned to death. But that joy was very short. As soon as John started preaching against the sins of this man, his joy is over and he hates that sermon. He hates that teaching. The true joy of receiving God's word is for those that repented, turned away from sin, turned to the Lord, and now they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, and according to His teaching, they serve the Heavenly Father. That's a lasting joy. That joy is not going to cease even when we leave our dead and worn out body here on this earth. To fulfill the word of God, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And our soul be free to return to our Creator, free from sin, trusting on the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Well, then, that's that lasting joy. It's not going to stop. It won't be discontinued, even with the death of this body, even with the ending of this life upon the earth. That's the everlasting joy. In the verse number 36, the Lord says, I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. In the verse number 26, we read, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him the power to execute judgment also, for because he is the Son of Man. So, the Father has life in himself, and the Father is sharing that life with the Son. And now, we read here in the verse number 36, the works which the Father has given to the Son to finish, to accomplish, the same works that He is doing, they bear witness that Jesus is the Christ, that the Father has sent Him to save the mankind. The witness of John was from the Father. How can this witness be greater than the witness of John? What is greater? What is smaller? Well, we read in the story about the rich man in fire, in Sheol, after his death, after he was removed from this life on earth, he's begging Father Abraham to send somebody to his five brethren to tell him the truth so that they would not come into the same place of torment, of suffering. And Abraham said, my son, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, even if somebody come from the dead, they will not believe. And that's true. The Lord Jesus Christ came from the dead. And those that did not want to believe, stubbornly, they did not believe. But what Abraham is saying in that story to the rich man that was so poor, Abraham is telling this man, and in that story the Lord Jesus Christ is telling to us that when we don't believe the word of God, that word is far away from us, or we remove ourselves far away from the presence of the Lord. We are running away from the Lord. We don't want to His word. We don't want to believe His truth. We would rather believe satanic lies. But the opposite of that, when we believe the word of God, when the word of God is dwelling in us, and that word of God is manifested, demonstrated in our daily walk, we live to please Him. We live in harmony with His word and will. Then we have the greater witness. The smaller witness, as great as it is still smaller. And that smaller witness is the word of God, written, recorded. We read that and we see that all those that believed the Lord Jesus Christ, to them He gave the power to become the children of the everlasting Father. That's a great witness. But that witness becomes much stronger when that truth is in us and we are in that truth and we live according to the Word of God. That's the greater witness. Our Lord Jesus Christ had that greater, or the greatest witness. Nobody ever did all that He did, and no one has been given that task to redeem the mankind, to die for the dead that they might live, to fulfill the Father's will by laying down His life, His soul and body on the cross to be the sacrifice, the atonement, the redemption for us, the sinners, the fallen, lost children of our father Adam. In the verse 37, the Lord says, "And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape." Well, when the Lord was baptized, there was the voice of God heard. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But they did not hear it. They did hear something. They said, something happened. And even if they were there present physically, and if you like, spiritually, if they were right there at the River Jordan, and the voice of the Father was heard, and if they did understand every word, they would still not hear the Father, because they don't believe it, they refuse it, they reject it. They are deaf, unwilling people that reject the Word of God. They are deaf. Even when they hear it, they don't. But those that did believe, as John the Baptist, he did hear the voice of the Father, and he did confirm to the people that the Father has testified that this is His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. The disciples of the Lord did hear that voice and that testimony, and they believed that, and they believed that that was the voice of the Father. But those that oppose the gospel, that don't want to believe, even when they hear the voice of the Father, they deny it. They say it's not the voice of God. And when the Lord says to the religious people, the unbelievers, those that are in opposition to the truth, "Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape," I think, and I put an accent on that, I think that the Lord is saying, you have no idea who God is and what God is. Now the Lord Himself said to the disciples that God is spirit, and God does not need flesh and bones. But then Here he says, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. What does that mean? What is the shape of God? What is his form? We don't know. But the Lord is telling to these Jews that they, in their misunderstanding, in their stubborn darkness of ignorance, they have deshaped, deformed God. They have twisted the initial, the original perception of God. God is not their Savior, He's their judge. And they see God as an enemy. They don't want to have anything with God. And ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent, him ye believe not. What does that mean? Ye have not His word abiding in you. They did use the word of God. They did read the word of God. They were teaching the word of God. But they were not doing the word of God. The word of God was not dwelling in them, living in them, and they were not living in the light of God's word. So their vision of God is totally out of shape. They see the opposite. God is the Savior of penitent and believing, and He's the judge of unbelieving and stubbornly opposing His word. In the verse 39, the Lord said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Of course the scriptures testify of the Lord. But we remember that talk among the people at one time when they said that Jesus of Nazareth cannot be the Messiah, the Savior, because Savior was to be born in Bethlehem of Judah, and Jesus is of Nazareth. See, if they pursued the matter, if they sought the truth, they could have found out that He was born in Bethlehem of Judah. But they were not interested in the truth. They were interested in accusations and excuses for not believing. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not say to the Jews, in the scriptures ye have eternal life. And if He did say that, there would be the truth, because there is life in the scripture. In the word of God there is truth and salvation. And it was like that from the beginning. When God said to the first couple, of every tree you can eat freely, as you desire, as you need, but there is only that one tree, don't touch it. There is death for you in it. When the Lord said that, that was the truth. That was their life. As long as they believed that and obeyed that, that word of God, they were alive and safe and secure. When they violated the will of the Lord, when they transgressed His commandment, they died. Why would the Lord say, search the scriptures, for in them, in the scriptures, you think ye have eternal life? Well, first, that's what the Jews thought. We have the scriptures, we have the word of God, so we are the ones that have eternal life. But no, they only think so. Those that search the scriptures and obey the word of God, those are the ones that have that life everlasting. But if one would twist the scripture, pervert the scripture, subject the scripture to modifications of human commandments, he has no life. He has condemnation in the word of God. So the Lord said, you think you have eternal life in the scriptures. No, that's not the truth. The fact is that until you believe and obey, you have condemnation in the scriptures. For the word of God is unto salvation to all that believe, and unto condemnation to all those that oppose it. And these Jews did oppose the word of God. Verse 39 again. search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures testify of the Lord. The more we believe the word of God, the more we obey it, the more we practice the word of God in our daily walk, the more witness and witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ we will find in the word of God. The less we obey the word of God, the more we oppose the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more disobedient we get, the less we can see of the Lord Jesus Christ in the scripture, let alone in our daily walk. So the Lord is saying here, the scriptures do testify of the Lord, but the Jews did not want to come to the Lord that they might have eternal life, that they might have life. They rather have chosen darkness, death, than life. And then as he was revealing this to them, as the Lord was witnessing to the Jews, they again get that idea, oh, he just wants to persuade us to be his supporters, to be his party, his group. And the Lord is answering, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. So the reason why the Lord Jesus is talking to them in the way he was talking to them is, the reason is, that he might touch their hearts and shed some light of the truth upon their minds. And if they would believe the word of God, that would be their guide and their path unto salvation. But if they reject that, they refuse to submit to the word of God, they will not have life in them, and they will not have love of God in them. When we study the word of God prayerfully, and we seek to do his will, and we strive to obey him in our daily walk, we receive more and more testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes more of a reality in our heart, in our mind, and his joy become our joy, and his sadness our sadness. We will not be saddened, or we are not going to be made sad and unhappy by the circumstances, by the things of the world, by missing the pleasures of the world. To the contrary, we have our comfort and our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our Savior. Our life is in him. Our future is with him. So there is a lasting reason for a lasting joy to all those that trust and obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In another place the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And here, everyone that disobeyed the word of God, rejected the gospel, hath not the love of God in himself, and no life everlasting. In the verse 41, the Lord is persuading them or telling them the truth. I receive not honor of men. Of course he did receive honor of men. When they prostrated on the ground their garments to let him enter into Jerusalem, that was an honor. All those that believed the Lord Jesus Christ and obeyed his word, they were honoring him. Did he reject that? Of course not. He did receive honor of men, but what he is saying here, I think, that he does not depend on the honor of men, and he does not receive honor from those that disobey the Father, that reject the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus. If in their unbelief they could honor him, if he would be pleased with their unbelief, that would be a dishonor to the Father. He cannot be honored with that. Neither the Father nor the Son receive honor from the enemies of the gospel, from the slaves of Satan. All those that die in their sins will honor the Lord in His perfect divine justice that is going to punish every sin with everlasting punishment. In the verse 43, the Lord says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And of course, that another did come in his own name, and they have already received him. That's why they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that is following Satan, that is believing, trusting, having confidence in the deception of Satan, every such a person is refusing to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I read the scriptures, if I meditate on the word of God, and I come to a point that seems to be extremely difficult to me, and I just cannot bring myself into obedience to that word, to that teaching, why is it so? Because I already received the deception of Satan. I already defiled my mind and heart with a desire and intention that is opposing the word of God. Next, the Lord said to the Jews, how can ye believe, which receive honor one over another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? What is the honor that cometh from God only? Trusting and obeying His words. Trusting and having full confidence in His goodness and His might. That condition of the heart and the condition of the mind, that spiritual environment in the soul of a man is an honor from God. And that's what we should seek. That's what we should go after. We should read the Word of God and seek the testimony of the Father and pray to the Father to fill our heart and mind with His truth. That is the honor that is coming from the Father. What is the deceitful, false honor that is a shame in the sight of the Lord? The false honor that the enemy is offering to his people, not believing the Word of God, striving for the pleasures of the world, finding joy in sinning against the Lord. That's that honor that is not an honor, that is a shame, but so many people are seeking that and running after that. As long as that is the direction of their heart and mind and the condition of their heart and mind, they cannot believe the gospel. They cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive life. And some of the people running in that direction, having that pursuit, that intention to sin as much as they can, to accomplish as much as they can, to satisfy their empty, vain desires for vanity and pride as much as they can. And then one failure and after another, one barrier after another, one difficulty after another, then the sickness, then the difficulties of any kind. And then they become tired of their pursuit. They become tired of sinning. They become desperate in their condition. And they start seeking the Lord. So because of His love and mercy, the Lord will give suffering to some unbelievers and turn their hearts to seek and find their Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it is good and helpful, beneficial for every believer to look into this verse number 4 and to check, to question myself, what kind of an honor I'm seeking, what kind of an honor I receive with pleasure. Is my honor to please my fellowship, my group, my denomination, my party or whatever? Is my honor to accumulate as many properties, as much wealth and riches as I can? What is my honor? Is my honor to become famous in the world? To become a movie star or a sports star or whatever? A man of high dignity or a high position in the society? What is my honor? Come, follow me, the Savior spake. O mankind, heed my calling. Deny yourself, forsake the world, where death is ever lurking, ambushing you. Take crosses and suffering and follow me. My path is leading to life everlasting. Because these people disobeyed the Father and rejected the Son, because of their disobedience, they didn't have life in the Scripture. They had condemnation in the Scripture. And because they were opposing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't receive the encouragement. They received a rebuke. And that rebuke they rejected. But the Lord is telling them, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. So if they did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't need him to be their accuser. They already know the Scripture that is given to them through Moses. And if they know that Scripture and they disobey it, that's their judge, their condemnation. All of the Scripture, the whole Bible, is condemning sin, disobedience, rebellion, animosity against the Lord. If the people of Israel, if the children of Judah believed Moses, if they kept the law, if they trusted the Scripture to be the Word of God, they would have received the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon in the temple that took the baby Jesus into his arms did not need many gospel stories. He did not need a mighty sermon on the mount or sermon by the lake or whatever to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It was sufficient for him to hear the voice of the Spirit of God talking to him. Now is the time, come and see the child. And he came and he believed. Those that will believe will believe. And those that will reject the Word of God will reject the Word of God. And if they don't believe the Scripture, they are not going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, for he came from the dead. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Why is that so? Why should the words of Moses that are written, that are recorded, be more convincing than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Moses was here, and he is gone. But the testimony of Moses as the man of God remained recorded in the book. When they read the words of Moses, and they decided not to keep the word of God, but to stick to their precepts, to their ordinances, to their commandments, to their traditions, they already rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as it was given to Abraham, as it was given through Moses, as it was given in many testimonies recorded in the old Scriptures. And if they received and rejected all of that, then they are surely going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. So they did not believe the old Scriptures, and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. There is some interrelationship between the two. But if we today reject or refuse to believe any tiny part of the Scriptures, we reject the Lord Jesus Christ. For the whole Scripture has been given from God. And the whole Scripture is the foundation of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we are not under the law. But in the law there was still the Spirit of grace of God. Otherwise, why would have the law of sacrifices been given to the people? And the law was commanding love and charity. That's the grace of God. And there was so much grace of God in the law. But the law was rigid. The law was firm and the commandments were firm. Yet, in some cases, the Lord God Almighty granted grace of salvation unto those that violated the law in a very gross way. It's in the power of the Lord. He can save great sinners, and He can also leave the false righteousness, the men that trust in their own righteousness. The Lord can leave them in their sins to be kept for the day of judgment. May the Lord give us grace to believe, grace to obey, grace to do His will from the heart, to love Him, to adore Him, to magnify His goodness and grace, and to live to please Him, glorifying, exalting, testifying of our great Redeemer, the Son of God.